and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello, everybody. Mama's home, sporting my little Martha's Vineyard t-shirt. Where else would you find a dog swimming in a glass in a martini? Martha's Vineyard. Bike trip. Awesome. Sexy liberal tour director Roland and I. I've had quite a vacation.
Apparently.
I was, Jim, at the DNC, as you know, we all were.
Yeah.
Then I was on a bike trip. Then I was somewhere you're not going to believe. I had dinner and spent the night. I'll tell you that story in a minute.
Really?
And
okay.
Apparently, the Twitterverse tells me I'm dating Jodie Foster.
Wow.
Twitterverse exploded.
And the Twitterverse doesn't lie.
I will
well,
neither
first
confirm.
They said I'm dating Jodie Foster, so
I will neither confirm nor deny that rumor. Why? I need the publicity.
Oh?
It's a fantastic rumor, isn't it?
Well, you haven't been in the tabloids since you got in that fight
since
with...
Since I broke up Bruce Brocksmeitner and Melissa Gilbert.
That's the only time you've been in the tabloids.
Back in 1995. Yeah, Roland shows up at the bike trip. So, I hear you're... I was like, really?
What?
I drank more at the DNC than I thought.
Wow.
And, yeah, and she's the one who got us in the better hotel, apparently.
Apparently. We were spotted at the DNC together, dating, got us into better hotels.
Huh.
We were first spotted at the Grove about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
The big shopping mall here in Los Angeles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I knew that.
When was the last time you were at the Grove?
That is awesome.
I can't picture you at the Grove. You don't deal with crowds well.
I could have been. We need this rumor. I love someone. Someone wrote, oh, good. Well, Jody's finally found an equal. And I'm thinking, if she saw that. Ah! What? I'm an A-list Oscar winner. That fart show. That. What?
What?
Oh, sorry. See, I don't even know how to operate my own box. I've been gone so long.
Okay, there.
Fart joke comedian. That's what I meant.
Mm. Like, did John Fugel saying rearrange your box?
Yeah, I have a complaint letter from Rocky Mountain Mike regarding John's use of my box.
Oh?
My sound effects box.
Right.
Yeah. Which I don't travel with ever since that the incident in Reno.
Right.
Yeah.
You shot a man just to watch him die?
No, it was involving my box.
Yeah. You know, we don't talk about it.
John Fugel saying my box. Staff. Although I love listening to John Fugelsang when you're away, he does not play with your box properly. This isn't always the case. Sometimes John hits the right button on your box, and it's highly effective, producing sounds that are pleasurable to all of us. But more often than not, it seems John is searching in vain for the correct button on your box, resulting in an undesirable noise coming from your box.
Oh. Mm.
Is there some sort of training class in which John can enroll to learn the proper use of your box? I think we're all concerned that if someone abuses your box, it will ruin it for the rest of us. Rocky Mountain Mike, listen.
He's a helper.
We may look into that.
I'm pretty sure no one's abused your box in a while.
How do you know? How dare you say such an awful thing about Jodie Foster?
Hey, Louie.
Did you bring your
car? I bet you it was my Nell impression. That brings all the girls to the yard.
Woo!
That brings the girls to the yard.
Turned her on like you wouldn't believe.
She
loves hearing that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Did you bring your box to Martha's Vineyard?
No, I told you I'm not allowed to travel with my box. I don't leave it here for John to play with.
Well, no wonder your box doesn't see any action.
Yeah, by the way, I'm very concerned about our newswoman, Jackie Schechner, who apparently nobody fed while we were gone. I don't know. What did I say? I said feed the news pet, please.
Yes.
Anyway, concerns about Jackie's box.
You need to
box.
Feed and water her.
Oh, for God's sake. She's like a hothouse orchid.
She's like a chia pet.
Chia.
Kate in Tampa. Mama, good Lord. This is regarding Jackie's box now. Good Lord, they've added more orange circle graphics to Jackie's box. Have you all no compassion for us crazy OCD folks in your audience? She has pneumonia and orange circles in her box. Is their penicillin strong enough? I don't...
Did they add more graphics to her
I don't know.
Background?
I can't see her box when I'm here. I'm in my own little...
box.
Right.
Hmm. There's a lot of box on this show.
Thank you. Okay.
Johann Sebastian, Johann Christoph. Yeah. Box.
Okay.
See,
I see.
Composers.
Twitterverse also exploded. They aired the sexy liberal documentary.
They did.
On Friday night. I didn't watch it. Why?
Because you're not a fan of yourself.
No. Hmm. I was afraid I would look fat. And so I didn't want to see it, but I'm told that it's fabulous.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, I apparently the Facebook everything exploded at Curran and ours. Anne writes, the documentary watched it twice already. No wonder the country's clamoring for Stephanie. No wonder I'm dating Jodie Foster. It must have been, right?
Yeah. You know, I have a feeling that's the sort of thing that they'll run, like, over and over again on Christmas Day when they have no programming.
Yes, it'll just be a block.
Yeah.
It'll be our own doc block.
Exactly.
Just a sexy liberal documentary over and over. But
They'll rerun it on weekends like MSNBC runs prison.
We have to thank Shelley Lewis. Wynn Rosenfeld is the guy that put it together at Curran.
Yeah.
And I'm told did a fabulous job. I can't stand to look at myself for that long, but I'm told it's wonderful.
I need to watch it.
Okay. Do you want to know where I spent the last night?
I have an idea because I saw a picture that was tweeted up by Roland.
Jodie Foster's hotel?
No. Okay, let's drop that rumor and move on to something else. Okay. I don't want to screw this up because it was really like the thing of a lifetime. Jim, this is going to make your head explode. We spent the night at the Kennedy compound.
Oh, man.
And Roland and I woke up the next day. We're like, did we get drunk and play Bananagram with Ethel Kennedy last night? Or
play what?
Did you slip me a roofie?
Play what?
She's
What's
the most
Bananagram?
Awesome woman in the world. I was remember Kathleen Kennedy was on at the DNC.
That's
I was
right.
joking around. I'm like, I'm going to be on a bike trip. I think I'll go knock on the door. She goes, oh, Ethel would love that. I was like,
Zoinks.
Yeah. They're the kindest, most warm, the warmest, the what you would imagine them to be, that's what they're like.
Did you at least call
Bobby
ahead?
Bobby called. He's like, oh, Ethel would love to have you enrolled in dinner. I was like, huh? I'm like, all right, Chris, Jim, stop it with that impression. It's like, Jim, stop with the Bobby Kennedy Jr. already. So we I don't even know how to explain the story. It was hilarious.
Is she a fan of the show?
She's 84.
Yeah.
She is so smart, so with it. She reminded me of one of the nuns in my grade school because we were terrified that our words weren't long enough in Bananagram. She comes and checks your work afterwards, and if your words are too short.
What's Bananagram?
And she wants to, it's a word game. You have not played Words with Friends until you played with Ethel Kennedy. So she's...
So is it like Words with Friends?
Yeah,
I'm trying to wrap my brain around...
But it's little pieces of, you know, Scrabble things. Like, it's little... It's like a bunch of letters.
Why don't you just play Scrabble?
Listen, don't question Ethel Kennedy!
Okay!
It's the game of the Kennedy compound, so...
We do not play Scrabble here.
They don't play Scrabble there.
They play Bananagram.
Yeah, the whole thing was
so... We play Bananagram. We always have and always will.
It was so surreal. I'm just having a hard time even talking about it. It was really, we couldn't believe it was happening. We were,
kind of awesome.
Yeah. I literally get a call on my cell. This is Ethel Kennedy's private secretary. We'd like to pick you up at the airport. I'm
wow.
like, okay. Okay. Anyway, and then she is so warm and sharp and funny. She like knew everything about my dad. She's like, how old were you when he was... in Nuremberg, he was such a kind, good man. You know, he worked with Bobby on stuff, and I was like, oh, my God.
How old were you when he was...
I was not born yet.
That's what I thought.
Anyway, and so then Ethel goes to play golf, and Roland and I literally were home alone at the Kennedy compound.
Oh, did you rifle through the medicine cabinet? Did you do any of that?
We're just running around. We're bouncing on the trampoline and running around. We're like, it was incredible. We saw the house where the president used to stay. I mean, you can imagine the pictures. And we were just overwhelmed the whole time. And they're so warm. And it's, you know, it was weird. I was actually telling her that someone called last week, remember the week before we left?
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, the difference between them and the Romneys. They said, you know, we don't begrudge success. The Kennedys are wealthy. But we always had the feeling that they cared about people that aren't.
Yes.
And they really do. I mean, they just, all of them have devoted their life to all this, you know, to helping other people. And they don't have to. So anyway, it's as incredible.
And Romney's devoted his life to helping himself.
Yes.
At the expense of others.
The Kennedys devote their life to other people. Yeah. The Romneys devote their lives to themselves.
Yeah. But anyway, so it was. I was thinking of Jim. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm walking on the beach.
If I had gone there, I would never stop talking like this. It would be impossible for me not to talk like that if I were there.
And, she made Roland a better man.
Get out now.
What? Roland went to Cornell, kind of a smart guy, but
yeah.
He was like, I was terrified that my words were not big enough in Bananagram, so we like, he just flopped sweat. He started his words suddenly, like, what? Where did you? And he starts yelling at me on the way back. He's like, oh, please, you had words like poo. I was terrified because I had a little whine. I was like, I don't really even know how to play. She's kicking my ass at this game. I don't even know what it is. It's, yeah, you have to. I don't know, but hearing Ethel Kennedy yell Bananagram, Those Kennedys are competitive.
So is it like a combination of Scrabble and Yahtzee?
Like, yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds like a combination of Scrabble and Yahtzee and Uno.
Whatever. Terrifying. And then she does. She comes behind and checks to make sure you didn't cheat.
Ah.
See how big your words are. I'm like.
With a ruler.
Catholic school.
Wow.
Anyway.
Callbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to post pictures from our trip. We had Roland's. You know, I had to veto a bunch of them because.
You know. Looking a little rough.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
Yikes! Ridden hard, put up wet. You know what I'm saying?
Jodie Foster will do that to you.
Now the new thing will be that Jodie Foster and I were at the Kennedy compound playing nanogram. That's Kennedy.
Poor Roland like gets shoved to the side.
It'll be like a game of telephone by the end of the day. All right. And she has the most adorable dog in the world, named let's see. Oh, Hefe. Except Roland kept calling him Heffenweisen, and I'm like, his name is not Heffenweisen.
It's Hefeweizen, for one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Hefe.
And we did find one thing. The dog treats you a little better when you're with a Kennedy.
Really?
When we were there later, he was like,
meh.
Meh. Yeah. But anyway, so that was really it was like the time of a lifetime. It was just really incredible.
Wow.
So there you go. Mm. There you go. That was what I did on my summer vacation by Steffi Miller. The end. Scene. All right. So, lots to get to. By the way, while we're gone, Mitt Romney starting World War III.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you.
Any way to have the election early so we can get this doofus off the world stage before he kills us all? No? I mean,
even the right wing was slamming him.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yes, exactly. Peggy Noonan drank an extra box of Chardonnay, I think, because she was like, the worst candidate ever.
And Politico has a great story about the cause of all of this.
Mm. Oh, aren't you? Look at you. You went to tease school during the vacation.
I certainly did.
And Coulter said, told you so.
I went to Disneyland and tease school.
And I'll tell you what other A-list star I'm dating after the break. 18 minutes.
What?
Huh?
Oh. 18, you know, my
allegedly. Oh, that was clunky.
My teases are all
in here.
I never deliver on my teases anyway. Jim knows.
That's why I'm still here. I keep falling for it.
18 minutes after the hour, he can be bought for a couple of cheap feels in the elevator.
Yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Back from vacation. 23 minutes after the hour. Yes, Jim is a lumberjack, and he's okay. He's wearing a very manly plaid shirt.
That's what Kelby over at Current says.
Yes.
I did, and I stole it from him. I thought you were so rugged.
I don't give anyone any credit. I thought of that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
23 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit coming up after the bottom of the hour. Wow, where do we even start about what's been happening in the last week? All we know is it's Mitt Romney's party.
It's my party, and I lie if I want to. Lie if I want to. Lie if I want to. You would lie too if you hadn't a clue. Nobody knows where my sanity's gone, but honestly, at the same time, why must we always obstruct and spend our energy on him? It's my party, and I lie if I want to. Lie if I want to. Lie if I want to. You would lie too if you hadn't a clue.
Oh, Rocky Mountain Mike. David in Virginia on Mittens. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning. It's great to have you back, Mama.
Thank you, baby. Me too.
Listen, the reason I'm calling is, I don't know, I got another Romney out of touch moment for you.
Yes.
Because there's so many of them, you know.
Right.
I think he was interviewed by, I want to say Stephanopoulos, but I'm not sure, but he said he was going to cut taxes for the middle class.
Right.
And
the middle class is who, David? Middle class.
Yeah, exactly. According to Romney, the middle class encompasses those making $250,000
right.
a year.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, on what planet? On what planet is that middle class?
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
Median income in America is $51,000.
Yes. I was just going to say,
exactly.
I was finding the actual, exactly. $50,000.
And median means middle.
Means middle.
Right, right.
That's what it means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, in Mitt Romney's world, that's middle class is $250 a year.
I'm unemployed right now. I live with my mom. We make like $40,000 to $50,000 a year right now. Who's he talking about? I want to meet these middle class people.
Yeah, I need to meet a better class of middle class person.
I know, right?
Dear God, I really, I mean, where do you even start? Top Romney advisor faults Obama for the murder of U.S. ambassador. Really? Is this a campaign in just free fall, like flop sweat?
He also kidnapped a Lindbergh baby.
I mean, and he doubled down on his ridiculous comments. First of all, the first statement wasn't from the administration. It was from the embassy there.
That's right.
It's unbelievable. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Coming up in Right Wing World next hour, everybody pretty much blames Obama for the troubles in Libya and
sure,
the Middle East.
Sure,
wow.
Because he shot the stupid video and, Right. And
oh, by the
said,
way, there's a conspiracy snossage.
If Romney was president, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a conspiracy snossage regarding
what's
that video.
That?
That it was partially funded by Atlas Jugs.
Pamela
Geller.
That wouldn't surprise
now that,
me
that,
at all.
That's just a rumor. It's a conspiracy. Not reporting it as fact. I'm just putting it out there.
There's something very Rogan about it, though.
Backed up by as many facts as the fact that I'm dating Jodie Foster.
Exactly.
So we'll, okay.
We report, you decide.
But the thing with this movie is that the only thing slamming Muhammad came in a voiceover that was tacked on later.
Oh, absolutely.
And that sounds like, I don't know.
Jim could have done that. He'll take any voiceover job to get out of here early.
Yeah.
Be like, I voiced what? I didn't know what it was. All the people involved in it said, we had no idea what this was.
Yeah. And one of the actresses said, I didn't say that. That was dubbed by someone else after mm-hmm. I left the production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was described as a bunch of drunk people trying to do a Saturday Night Live
right.
sketch. And this is causing what it's causing around the Muslim world.
And apparently there were two.
It's not caused by Obama administration policies, what's happening, by the way.
Right.
Some stupid video that apparently Mitt Romney could have magically stopped in some way if he were president.
And it was from the director of The Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood.
Yes, he did porn before this.
Yes, and there were two porn stars in this movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. There's a little softcore porn, by the way, in the Sexy Liberal documentary. Glad you enjoyed it. Thanks so much for watching. Current will be re-airing it. And you can see that live in Seattle up next in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Mama's big birthday show.
Seattle, Washington, are you tired of all the negative campaigning? Well, the answer is coming straight to you. Shake it off with liberal laughs, courtesy of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. On Saturday, September 29th, the Paramount Theater will welcome John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller live on stage. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Seattle, this is your last chance before the election to experience pure progressive nirvana.
Yay! Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike!
No, that was Shano.
Oh, that was Shano. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yes.
My bad. Let's go to Jim and Joyzy. Hi, Jim. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I just realized this morning that John Kerry and Mitt Romney have a few things in common that I'd like to share.
Okay.
And there's two things that really jump out at me, and that was the people may not know this, but they were both Vietnam protesters.
Yes.
But there was a little difference how and when they protested. You know, John Kerry, everyone's aware, is a very decorated Vietnam combat veteran,
mm-hmm. yep.
and he decided to protest after he came back from serving his nation.
Yep.
He protested for our nation to go to war and send his classmates to war.
Right, not him, his classmates. Yeah, Rube Pundit makes this point. We'll talk to him after the bottom of the hour. But he said, can you imagine if a Democrat had decided to go hang out in France?
Yeah.
For the Vietnam War? I mean, it's incredible that mm-hmm. more has not been made of that. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Rube Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, we really should have spaced out your vaccinations.
Uh-oh. Are you okay over there?
What? Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Playing Bananagram?
Mm-hmm.
Or Candyland or whatever you were playing at the Kennedy compound?
Shush. It is the...
Banandyland.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, my goodness, it's Monday.
Lee Papa, the rude pundit.
We haven't talked to him in weeks.
Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. I don't know what's going on there. I'm listening to you. I'm hearing about you and Jodie Foster and a banana
right.
at the Kennedy Cup.
Right. See how this is working delightfully for me already.
Oh, yeah.
Go spread the rumors. All right. rudeness. You know, I heard other people say this, but not the way you do so rudely. Romney hooks himself off the stage. A lot of people say there's that moment in every campaign. And you, as you were saying, it's hard to pick with Romney. There's been so many career-ending moments in this campaign thus far, right?
Yeah, every time it seems like he opens his mouth now, he can't but help it. There's the inability to give any specificity to his economic policy. There's his inability to answer for what would actually happen with Medicare and Medicaid under his plan.
Right.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, it's his whole campaign at this point seems to be Obama bad and also black.
yeah, pretty
but
much.
But you say in every campaign there's a moment you know it's all over. John McCain, when he chose Sarah Palin in 2008, that was the Hail Mary. You say for Mitt Romney, there have been so many of these moments, hard to pinpoint which one is actually the hook or the card at the end of the movie that reads Finn, which we know Romney would understand because he lived in a castle in France during the Vietnam War, something that would have automatically disqualified him from being a Republican nominee a couple of decades ago. And a caller just called about this. I mean, you were saying that. Can you imagine what the right wing would do with that if a Democrat had gotten a draft deferment to hang out in France? Right?
Right. In a castle, fighting the good fight, trying to convert the French to Mormonism.
And stop drinking wine.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck with that.
That's like trying to get me to stop drinking wine. You say the Republican has long believed, and this is my happy clappy part, that not only would President Obama win this election and defeat specifically Mitt Romney, but would win by a big margin, as much as a margin is in 2008 or maybe more. Ooh, that's awfully landslidey. And that's for several reasons, primarily the primary one being that no matter what he tries to do, Mitt Romney is just an absolute head. And I think that sums it all up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I always knew, not to, you know, toot my own horn, but I'll do that later.
Right. Hello.
I had no idea you were from Nantucket.
You had to know, just looking, once people got a look at Mitt Romney and really started paying attention, that most of these independents, and I would imagine a number of Democrats who were leaning away from Obama, would look at Romney and go, oh, no, I don't want to throw in with that. Mm. No, that's like throwing in with the D-bag football captain who likes to abuse the nerds, you know? It's no.
Wow. By the way, I was in Nantucket. That was where the bike trip started.
There you go.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
You rode your bike from Nantucket to Martha's Vineyard?
No, Kathleen Kennedy warned me about that. She said, you know, there's
how
water. You can't ride
you
all the way.
That. There's water. There.
How many limericks did you guys make up?
Well, everything they asked us if we wanted to do, we said, it. We're in Nantucket.
Yep.
God.
Oh, Roland noticed, too, that there's like two kinds of people are either blonde or really, really blonde in Nantucket. And I said, that's what passes for diversity in Nantucket.
Stephanie Miller rode a bike in Nantucket. She found a banana. Never mind.
The blonde leading the blonde.
you say though this whole the U.S. embassy thing and what's happening in the Arab world. You say he demonstrated vividly and for all to see why he should not only be president, but he has no business in politics. I mean, this is just what can you even say about this? I mean, as Jim said, even the right wing were just going, "Oh my God!"
He doubles down
on it. Yeah.
Right. At least give it some space, some breathing room for the story to actually come out on what exactly is going on. It just showed, I mean, that inability to wait to just try to take political advantage at the minute that he sees it. It just shows that he flunks the 3 a.m. phone call.
And, Rue, doesn't that one picture just sum up everything where he has such a bad sense of politics, he's walking away from the podium with this smirk on his face.
Yeah.
Like, he just scored political points.
Him.
Oh, yeah, that nailed it look.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's repellent, and I think that's what's going on is that more and more people are seeing that not only is he an incompetent with terrible plans for the country, but that he's just such a
douche.
I don't think I can use the word.
No, I mean, economically, he's a disaster. I mean, in terms of, I believe somebody did the math on it. His tax cuts, they're four times what Bush's were. I mean, but then you look at the world stage and you think, oh, my God, this guy could literally start World War III. Mm-hmm. I mean,
That's the thing, first of all, I think that they ran the numbers and he could close pretty much every loophole on people making more than $250,000 a year. And it still wouldn't pay for the tax cut. And this is not to mention that there's other tax cuts he wants to do also, which, you know, we're not even talking about the elimination of the capital gains tax. We're not talking about some of the other things. And then on top of that, this seeming obeisance to Bibi Netanyahu on what's going on in Iran, and which would just be
the
stupidest mistake.
I wanted to jump into my TV and throttle David Gregory as usual. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? It's like he just kept asking Netanyahu with the same question over and over again. Well, did the administration throw Israel under the bus? It's like, what are you reading, like Romney campaign talking points over and over? He kept trying to goad him, didn't he?
Right, right. Well, I maybe he just needed that TV moment. I don't know.
Well, exactly. But the bottom line is Romney's policy is exactly the same as Obama's.
Romney uses a-hole language to present it, and Obama uses diplomatic language to do it.
Well, and let's go back to your stuff on the embassy, because it's a perfect example, as the president said, of someone that, you know, shoots first and then aims later. I mean, literally, he doesn't know that people have been killed, and he blames the administration for sympathizing with the people that did it when the administration didn't say anything. And as you say, it was a statement from the embassy itself, right? And you say, so let's get this straight. Mitt Romney believes that at that moment, with their lives perhaps on the line, the U.S. embassy employees still in the building should have said something that pissed off the protesters even further. I mean,
They I guess they shouldn't have said anything. But at that moment, you know, they didn't know what was going on. They were, you know, they were under attack. They released a statement just saying, yo, we don't like that movie either. Which, by the way, that movie, have you watched it?
Apparently I've seen it's a awful. Clip. Yeah, I've seen a clip.
Yeah, well, you know, it looks to me like somebody edited together, now this is my conspiracy theory on it, somebody edited together all of the non-porn parts of a porn film.
Yes.
The little bit of plot that there is.
And in the word Muhammad every now and then.
Oh, my God.
Yes. The part where they say, "What is that, the doorbell? Is that the pizza guy?" And they just, like, hack in Muhammad.
Falafel? Yeah. I didn't order any falafel.
Sausage? Who ordered sausage? Yeah. I mean, really incredible that this is causing what it is in the Middle East. But, again, you can't make the point enough that this is not in response to Obama administration policies. I mean, it just...
Well, okay. Now I'm going to go off the happy clappy for just a moment.
Oh, we're out of time. Anyway.
Stop it. Let him go.
Go ahead.
You know, if you've got drone strikes going on constantly, that's not going on in Egypt, but, you know, if there are drone strikes going on constantly, and then to go back even further and not just blame Obama, but, you know, and if there's been these wars that have gone on there, and
right, but this was in response.
Military action, this was
planned
the
for the September 11th anniversary, correct?
Right. Well, the thing that happened in Libya was definitely, I mean, that was a coordinated effort to mark the anniversary, which, you know, I mean, some chocolates would have been nice.
But as you say, as you close your piece, now remind us all, what's Romney's foreign policy credentials? Cayman Islands shell corporations? I mean, it just, his incompetence on the world stage has really been quite stunning, starting with his England trip, right? And ending with last week.
And that's the thing, it's like he's not running against Senator Obama, who, by the way, again, still had more electoral experience than Romney and far more foreign policy credentials than Romney. But he's running against a president who's been dealing with this now for 4 years. And if he's not bringing anything to the game, then why should we even care that he's playing?
And by the way, this is in another, in happy clappy news, ending in happy clappy news, after the two political conventions, Romney, obviously Obama is leading. in three of the most important battleground states, according to the new NBC Wall Street Journal poll, in both Florida and Virginia. Obama ahead by 5 points among likely voters. In Ohio, he's ahead by 7. And obviously in Gallup, he's ahead, what is it, 5? I was surprised, actually, because you're not usually my happy clappy friend, but I've been saying that, too, that I feel like Larry the Landslide Lizard could be stretching.
I totally think so. And, you know, it's also seeming like there's a chance that this Obama bounce is actually pulling up some of the Democratic candidates. Elizabeth Warren is now firmly in the lead. Good. Over
Thank
Scott
you.
Brown.
That's right. You know, Rude, I always get accused of being too, you know, happy-clappy, but that's what I've been saying is I feel like this could be a wave. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself on it, but I'm just saying I have said over and over, you got to give him a Congress he can work with. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the least popular Congress. This Republican Congress has a 10% approval rating.
Right, and Obama's been avoiding trying to go out and stump too much for Congress because people hate Congress so much. But I do think that there's a chance that this rising ship could lift all boats.
And I was thinking, Rude, you know, because we were obviously at the DNC, like we were thinking, is it just because we're here? This seems a billion times better than the RNC. And as it turns out, no, we were not just caught up in the fervor of being there.
No, because.
Yeah.
If every time Romney speaks, you feel like throwing up, you're just not going to get your candidate elected.
Rupert Murdoch tweeted about how great the DNC was and how great Bill Clinton and Michelle Obama were. You're
Bloody
like,
eyes.
What's going on?
Did they have anybody? They wanted Chris Christie to be their Bill Clinton, essentially.
Yeah.
And Christie just came out there with this mercenary speech of, you know, I'm setting myself up for 2016. I'm not propping you up.
And by the way, And by the way, Chris Christie speech flops in the forest, that makes a sound. Do you know what I'm saying?
Hey, yeah. Well.
Squirrels in other countries hear it.
Yeah. If you need the belt of Orion to keep your pants up, it's time to lay off the cheese whiz.
Oh, Jim.
Jim Louise. All right, Rude, see you next week, honey. Great stuff, as usual.
All right, bye.
All right, bye, honey.
RudePundit.blogspot.com.
Yay! All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We're kind of frisky and happy to be back from vacation,
aren't
we?
We are.
It's the kind of geeks we are. 50 minutes after the hour.
And I haven't screwed up yet, so.
Right?
You know.
My God. 48, he hasn't mentioned Hitler yet?
I
What's
know.
Going on? Jim, hello. Are you awake? 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Here's the good thing. The people that we don't pay never go on vacation. Audra and Tracy, they put together, the unfortunate Pashmina incident of 2012, as we call it.
Yeah.
Where I was photographed in a wrinkly green Pashmina in the one time I will ever meet Cher.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, girl.
What up, mama? I hate to break it to you, girl, but the Pashmina thing just won't die.
Mama, where you at?
Steffi wears them well, and everyone can tell. He's got it going on, so why am I writing this song? Because even though others say it's wrong, we stand up with mama tall and strong. We stand up tall and strong. If mama wears another Pashmina, Mina, Mina.
Yo,
that's right.
Yeah. Nobody can pimp out a Pashmina like Steph.
Ah. That's right. You don't understand fashion, yo.
And apparently Vogue says
a girl in a baseball cap.
Yeah.
And Uggs. Yeah, I'm ahead of my time. Check out my Uggs. I wear them every day.
And some writer for Vogue says that they're just
See?
As...
I'm a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of my time, fashion-wise.
Yeah, they're just as fashionable as high heels. I'm
Thank
like,
you.
Really?
Yep.
I'll show you the picture of the guy who wrote that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sarah in Colorado. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Good, good. Go ahead.
I just want to say something. I have a couple comments, and I hope you have time for me.
Okay.
Number one, I'm so very well. I told the report, your screener, what I called about. So let me stick to that. That would only be fair.
Okay.
I think President Obama is supposed to protect our country. True or false?
Yes, and he was
AWOL when this thing took place, and it has nothing to do with the film. Because you guys,
it has nothing to do with the film.
Not a thing. It
really?
Was coordinated for 9/11, and you guys are on Kool-Aid, let me tell you. Okay, my second part, because I don't want to hold
then.
You up.
Oh, well,
you mentioned that the Kennedys are warm
Kool-Aid.
People, and I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
However,
mm-hmm.
The Kennedy men were very warm. They were all three womanizers, and we've never heard that about
okay.
Romney.
Right.
Oh, look what happened to your phone line. Your phone line somehow went awry.
So Romney should be president because he's not a womanizer. Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of a low bar.
She has a better understanding of what's happening across the Arab world than...
Right. Because she listens to...
Right. The video had nothing to do with it? It was the president's fault.
Nothing to do with it because they're enraged by that Muslim Obama. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh.
I sense a logical flaw.
Hang on. Okay.
Hey.
It was really all about getting a gratuitous shot in at the Kennedys. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. You feeling better now?
Good.
To Jeff in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Mama. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got two comments for you. One, when was this said? Women must embrace modesty in dress and behavior. Women dress immodestly in church are an insult to the Holy God.
That happened at the Value Voter Summit. They
yes.
they handed out little flyers about that, asking women not to be such sluts in church.
And what about Rick Santorum's comment that smart people will never vote for us?
Yes, yes, brilliant.
That's the part you're not supposed to say out loud.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he said smart people will never vote for us.
Oh, they're smart people think they're so smart.
Yeah, he said our support is based on family and the church. Or,
yeah.
Except that the nuns on the bus, remember, went on the whole
exactly.
thing about
yeah.
how your Republican budget.
Santorum also said something about the Hollywood Jews.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
What were his thoughts on that?
Oh, the same thing as smart people in Hollywood Jews will never vote for us.
All right. Oh, he's not a smart man.
Oh, bless his heart.
Bless his heart. All right, Mary in Chicago. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. I just had a comment. You called Romney a doofus.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? Why don't you look in the White House and see who the big doofus is there?
What's your evidence?
Fly to Vegas. Okay. They knew about this attack.
Obama knew about this attack, and he wanted
to fight amongst themselves.
Pardon me?
Get the Americans out of the Middle East and let them fight amongst themselves.
So why did George Bush send us to the Middle East then?
Why don't you ask him?
Well, we would love to. He won't return our calls.
A Chinese phone! I know you are, but what am I? All right.
I am Mary.
Well, that was...
He's a doofus. Obama's a doofus.
Let me just finish smoking this road flare for a second.
Obama's
you look in the White House, that's where the doofus is. Okay, well, good point, Mary.
Nanny, nanny, boo-boo, stick your head in, dude.
Okay. Sure.
You know, Rick Santorum was right.
Smart people and color Jews, and you're going to vote for us.
Why don't we get out of the Middle East?
All right,
Travis, get George Bush on the phone.
I'll ask
him.
Yeah, why didn't you ask him? Yeah, Travis, why haven't you booked George Bush yet?
Let all the Muslims fight among themselves.
Why did you ask him?
Walter.
No. what was that about? I don't even understand. All right. Well, I'm just saying George Bush is the one that sent us in there unnecessarily in the first place.
Right. He's the reason.
He's the doofus, Mary.
Wow, the quality of right-wing...
I'm trying to use the phone!
Propaganda.
Only in a much lower red... I'm trying to use the
phone. I'm trying to use the phone. Why don't you call George Bush and tell him why... What are you doing in the Muslim land, anyway? We should do in America. These things in America.
Oh, I've missed this little show. Okay. All right. Mark in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hey. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, what I wanted to talk about was yesterday, I, you know, wanted to torture myself some more and go through the Sunday morning shows, and I stumbled onto George Stephanopoulos this week, mm-hmm. and who's on the power panel?
Liz Cheney.
But Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, she's just losing every argument, so after that she's got to pull out the $16 trillion deficit card and bash Obama over the head with it. And I wish someone on the power panel would have asked her, Liz, didn't your father in 2002 say, Deficits don't matter.
Yeah. Right. Oh, in fact, I have a lovely little tidbit about the deficit coming up we're going to talk to Jackie about. And also Eric Bollard after the top of the hour, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right. We were just talking to Jackie about the Republican scary debt clock. It's scary. Although you might want to look at this graphic. We should put this up. Who increased the debt? 189% Ronald Reagan, 55% George Bush Sr., 37% Bill Clinton, 115% George W.'s, and only 16% President Obama.
That's a tiny number compared to the rest of them.
Wow. They voted. You know what? Maybe they should just give that debt clock to the Reagan Library.
I'll send it right over.
Yes.
It's in my box.
Thank you. Wow.
What?
Okay. Sexy Little Tour Director Roland says, Seattle, the big birthday show in 2 weeks. The orchestra just about sold out. There are some mezzanine seats available, but we are getting close to sell out. Hurry up. And then NYC, the big date. The big date. That's the closing, the pre-election extravaganza for 2012 at the Beacon Theater with Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and me. And the documentary aired this weekend, and so the tickets are going like crazy for New York. The hotel deal will be up this Wednesday, both the W Chain and the Hotel Beacon, for fans at all income levels.
The ho-deal?
Hotel deal. Which could be a ho-deal if you get very lucky. Sexy Little Weekend. Or as Mike and Rocky Mountain Mike calls it, a fart joke.
It's been a fart joke's night, and Jeff is thinking
thank you, Mike. All right. Oh, my God, I've missed him so much. That's what kind of political geek I am.
Oh?
All I've had to do to comfort myself with is his tweets. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world here.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Well, you know, we're about to dive into the right-wing world, but as you like to point out, fact, Dana Loesch published a 100% false headline, won't correct it.
Yes.
State Department denied Marines from carrying live ammo at Cairo embassy.
Yeah, that was sort of an ugly story that I passed around. The usual methodology, right-wing blogs, this sort of distant, vaguely referenced military blog saying, you know, it got to the point where Obama personally sent the cable over to the, you know, the Cairo embassy, no live ammunition, you know, just playing up this notion that Obama not only is putting our troops in danger, but he's acquiescing to the Muslim mob and things like just awful, crazy stuff.
Yep.
It took the U.S. Marines about, I don't know, a few hours to completely debunk it. They told Congress it was inaccurate. They told Fox News it was inaccurate. And, you know, to their credit, I guess, you know, although they don't get credit for spreading in the first place, these sort of right-wing, you know, places like Glenn Beck's The Blaze and Washington Beacon and these sort of pseudo-journalists, they all updated and said, oh, by the way, this is all false. Not Dana Loesch.
Nope.
Dana Loesch still has her headline over at Breitbart, State Department denied live ammo, hasn't updated, hasn't posted a correction, because Dana Loesch will not be dictated by the facts.
Yes, you will not be held down by that. You also say funny reading Wall Street Journal columns about how radical, incompetent, and awful Obama is, while Mitt falls behind by 7 points in the Gallup. Yeah.
We've talked about this disconnect, and it is just bubbling up, and it's going to come to a cauldron, you know, as we get closer to election. I mean, you know, the right-wing believers and the Obama derangement syndrome believers, they're just going to keep churning out these columns and this analysis about what a historical monster Obama is. And Donald Trump was on Fox this morning saying this should be a landslide for Romney. Obama is such a disaster for the country, and the polls just go in the opposite direction.
That's what I mean.
And the daylight sort of shines down.
And it's getting more entertaining to watch, isn't it, as the Romney campaign just craters. I mean, you know, as you tweeted, holy geez, among registered voters, Obama has a 9-point lead in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that came out last week. There was a poll over the weekend that had Obama up 5 in Virginia. You know, without Virginia, Romney has zero chance, just like he has zero chance without Ohio, and those poll numbers are heading south. And now, you know, Politico had this piece, and
I was going to ask you if you've seen it. Yeah, the Politico piece about, you know, now it literally is the kind of piece you see after somebody's lost disastrously, right?
Or,
not before.
Or maybe late October, mid to late October, when the polls have just completely gone south, and everyone knows what the outcome is going to be. It's early for this. I don't even think the McCain camp started. And I think this is going to be so much more painful, again, because, you know, the far right, the believers, the people who live in that Fox bubble, that Rush Limbaugh bubble, this was going to be a layup. I mean, Obama, the clock was just ticking, you know. They don't even have to really show up for the campaign. Let's get this Romney guy. Rove will raise a lot of money. We'll just say economy and unemployment all summer. And Romney's going to win by 9 or 10 points.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that if you live in that bubble for 4 years, the perspective you have on American politics just becomes so disjointed. You have again, you know, Trump this morning saying this should be a landslide for Romney.
Yes.
You're just not dealing with reality.
Yeah. You know, when you're by the time you're watching Paul, I was watching Paul Ryan speak on Friday, and when he said when Mitt Romney's president, I was like, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Dude, really? All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing in our little alternate universe. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters on the Fox News on the situation overseas.
What we are seeing is the comprehensive, if not catastrophic, failure of Obama's policy of appeasement. Appeasement didn't work with the Nazis, doesn't work with schoolyard bullies, you can't give them half your lunch money, and it hasn't worked over the last almost 4 years with the constant apologies to radical Islamists.
Uh-huh. Constant apologies?
Yeah. So we appeased bin Laden.
Yes.
Through the eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the apology tour, that goes back almost to, I mean, the first months of Obama's presidency, and this ties into the Manchurian candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was sent to overturn America from within. He was sent with loyalties that were not to the Constitution. They were elsewhere, sort of, you know, whether it was in Kenya or the Middle East or wherever. He's foreign, he's not among us, so therefore his first responsibility is not to protect the United States. And so the upheaval in the Middle East last week, it just plays right into that, the apology tour, and Obama's done everything wrong. You know, Peters and the other people we'll probably hear from in these clips, let's just remember, these are the people that got us into that $1 trillion war and just completely mucked up that part of the world for the United States for decades to come.
Yeah.
And now they're the ones lecturing Obama on what you should really do when it comes to the Muslim world.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Rush Limbaugh echoing that.
This is happening because we have a disaster as a president. This is happening because American foreign policy as a whole is imploding. We have somebody in charge of American foreign policy and his Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton, who have a politically correct conflict resolution, United States is always at fault worldview. That is how you get Obama apologizing all over the world shortly after he takes office. That's why Obama bows to all these foreign leaders.
So, obviously, like, some video that had nothing to do with the administration. Really? This is really the talking point all through right-wing world?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it just conveniently confirms everything we just talked about. I mean, this started from his first weeks and months in the office. You know, Obama is going to apologize to the world, and he doesn't have the United States interest at heart. He's got he wants to blame America. He hates America. I mean, if you listen to Limbaugh for the last 4 years, this is just the mantra. You know, Obama hates America. He wants high unemployment. He wants, you know, he wants to drive the country into the ground. And going back to your other point, this is why they can't understand why he's, you know, up in the polls, because they've built him into this monster. And in kind of in a creepy way, they do seem to be, I think, almost cheering sort of this mob mentality.
Oh,
they like to see they like to see the chaos, because they want to blame Obama for anything and everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't wait for the post-election how stupid the American people are.
Yeah,
rant.
We're pretty close.
Yeah,
I mean, Limbaugh has come pretty close to saying that. And again, people who think this should be a landslide for Romney, you know, they're blaming the press, they're blaming some of this, but eventually it's going to be, you know, the American people are too stupid to vote for Mitt Romney. Yeah, it's definitely heading in that direction.
His charm is so elusive. Ann Coulter on Fox and Friends.
The President of the United States has just done something incredibly, stupidly naive, harmful to United States foreign policy interests. Manifestly, it led to our ambassador being killed by ginning up angry Muslims protesting outside the Cairo embassy.
Wow.
It was the president's fault that our ambassador to Libya got killed?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was the point on Fox News this morning. There's no question. They're already suggesting that he knew this was coming in some way, shape, or form.
We had a caller last hour who said just that.
Yeah. Yes, well, clearly all of our, a president that hates America so much, Eric, would clearly be planning the death of all our ambassadors.
It's really obviously beyond crass and distasteful. To suggest the president of the United States was, you know, is responsible for, you know, this diplomat's death, or that he knew, or the Pentagon knew these attacks were coming and somehow didn't do anything. There's no evidence of any of that. And it sort of ties into Mitt Romney sort of jumping on in a fairly ghoulish manner, you know, trying to play politics with a dead diplomat. And that's why the press was so shocked last week. You know, the Republicans and conservatives, it's liberal media bias, and, you know, Mitt Romney's not the story. The establishment D.C. press was absolutely shocked when Romney played, you know, this strategy last week.
Yep.
And that's why they'd never seen anything like it. No one had ever seen anything like it in a campaign. And that's why he got beat up in the press, I think.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, smidge more right-wing world with Eric Moeller next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Or middle class. Or middle class, according to Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Those middle class people that make $250,000. You know, those peasants. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's hard to tell, Eric, whether Mitt Romney's more out of touch economically or on foreign policy. Your thoughts?
it seems to be both. I mean, he seems to be a candidate who reads what's in front of him.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the economic front, I'm just reading on Twitter today, and his aides are saying, well, you know, people understand he has a tax plan, but they don't know the details. We're going to give him the details. You know, it's October. It's almost October.
Yeah.
You know? And this campaign just seems has seemed to be completely in over its head from during the primaries, and it just seems to continue in that direction.
Yep. One wonders how many heads are in hands at the Romney headquarters on a daily basis. All right. Pam Geller, Atlas Jugs.
Yes,
on Fox and Friends.
I think it's very important that people understand what's happening here. Obama is sanctioning the blasphemy laws under the Sharia.
Huh?
Under the Sharia, Islamic law, you cannot insult or offend Islam. And Obama is submitting the United States to that. I think it's a very dangerous trend.
Congress passes laws, not the president. Does she understand
that? I think it's a very dangerous trend talking about the government when you know nothing about it. I think you should stop doing that.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Pam Geller, I mean, to say she's obsessed with, I mean, she has been announcing that Sharia is encroaching, if not completely enveloped the United States for years now. But, I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for her, you know, and Fox will have her on as many times as she wants, as, no matter how sort of delusional her points are. And she ties to Obama to Muslim law and Sharia, and he bows down to a foreign law. And again, it just goes, the Middle East conflict just goes back over and over again to this radical right-wing view that Obama is not really the president of the United States, and he's this Manchurian candidate, and he's here to bring America to its knees, and apparently to the knees of the Muslim world. I mean, go figure.
All right, Liz Cheney on ABC's This Week. Oh, and interestingly, Bibi Netanyahu does not back her up on this.
He's abandoned some of our key allies like Israel, Poland, Czechoslovakia.
Oh,
he's attempted to appease our enemies,
what?
The Iranians, for example, the Russians. He's now getting ready, as we watch these scenes unfold on the air, to slash our defense. And so the president himself got a terrible record on national security,
but,
and it's clearly something that Governor Romney ought rightly to be pushing.
You have a terrible record on history.
Yeah, because Czechoslovakia hasn't existed since the 90s.
And Romney's the one that says Russia is our number one geopolitical foe. What?
Yeah, but if Czechoslovakia did exist, Obama totally would have abandoned
it. Oh, right.
Okay.
So she has a point there.
The future.
I mean, as Media Matters pointed out, she hit every false cliche right-wing Obama, you know, foreign policy, national security talking point in that 15-second span.
Yeah, if it weren't for
none
Obama.
None of it was right. Yeah. None of it. And the Czechoslovakia was just the sort of icing on the cake. So people can really take a step back and really just laugh at what these people go on these serious Sunday shows as their opposition to
right.
Obama.
Right.
Well, leave it there.
If Obama had his way, we would never have had the Wild and Crazy Guys sketch on Saturday Night Live. That's how... Anti-Czechoslovakia. Okay, Chuck Norris. Oh, on an online video?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Our great country and freedom are under attack. We're at a tipping point, and quite possibly our country as we know it may be lost forever if we don't change the course our country is headed.
He was talking to an empty chair, and then he kicked it.
I mean, remember when the rhetoric used to be, you know, the most important election of our lifetime or our generation? And that was always sort of strained, but it came up every 4 years. Now, you know, if we don't win, America is lost forever.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris is not alone in saying this. This is absolutely common, you know, far-right rhetoric that if Obama's reelected, America, as you know it, will cease to exist. I mean, they just don't have any further to take the rhetoric to the edge, but there's poor Chuck Norris, you know, convincing his followers, you know, literally the apocalypse is looming.
Yeah,
America will be like that foreign country Hawaii. We cannot have that.
But he was wearing action jeans when he said it, Eric.
Oh, there you go.
All right, Eric Bowler for Media Matters. Great stuff as usual. See you next week, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, sorry.
Ow!
Vote for mittens or I'll kick Mike Huckabee in the head.
I should have stretched first. Oh.
He's getting a little up there in years.
Why do I picture his prostate the size of a Packard? From all those high kicks
his
age.
I'll kick your ankle. Look out. Oh, ow.
25 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What am I doing? I'm experimenting, man. I'm growing as an artist, okay?
That's not the
Stephanie Miller
brand.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Mama's back. We're back from vacation.
Yeah.
Yay. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We were talking to Eric Bowler about the Politico piece. It really is the kind of stuff you see when a campaign is over.
Right.
It's just about why the Romney campaign is... according to multiple Romney sources citing in the damning Politico report, Stuart Stevens, who is apparently not smart enough and not good enough, is to blame for Romney's gaffe-laden campaign. He's his chief campaign strategist.
This
sources in the article.
This has not been my best campaign.
The sources in the article, which includes the sort of slinging you'd expect after a candidate loses, not before, according to Gawker, fault Stevens for Romney's mediocre speech, Clint Eastwood's spectacular performance art piece, and among other campaign snafus, they're calling them. Wow, it really is. It's like the kind of post-mortem piece you see.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, somebody tweeted, Romney rally, Virginia rally draws hundreds where McCain got 23,000.
Oh,
and if
you'll
recall, McCain lost in a, what was that L word?
Landslide.
Lost in a landslide. Thanks
I think Larry the Landslide Lizard is doing, you know, calf stretches and stuff.
Who would that be, Tom Brokaw?
Larry the Landslide Lizard.
McCain drew
Sorry, I just had a well-brewed boot friend.
McCain drew 23,000 in 2008 at the same rally in Fairfax in North Virginia. Romney, a few hundred. Brutal, just brutal, oof. Someone tweeted over the
Yikes.
Weekend. Most under to non-reported phenomenon of this campaign, media will wake up November 7th. Landslide? Who knew? It's been such a close
it's
race.
So close. It was neck
Ooh,
and neck.
Ooh, it's a nail-biter.
Do that again?
You're eating corn.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Corn? When did I eat corn? Corky in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Steph. I've been waiting for you to get back so I can give you this.
Okay.
New segment. Every Monday morning, we have interpretation of what the Sunday Republican pundits have said. Now, I tried to speak this morning. I was called about a bill collector, and I told her that me and my wife were going to sit down and look it over, and then we were going to decide what we were going to pay and how much. She didn't understand what I was saying.
And neither do I.
I cannot make a determination until I know what my effective tax rate's going to be.
Oh, I see. And Romney won't give you that information. Was he calling from the floor of the stock market? What's happening?
I think he didn't turn his radio down.
Oh.
So he was hearing himself, and that was confusing him.
Yes. As me too.
There's a guy talking that sounds like me. What's that?
What the hell is going on?
How did that happen?
Okay. As we...
How did that happen? Wow, there it is again. There it is again.
There I am again. Hello. Yeah, this is why Romney's plans are confusing to everyone. He said to George Stephanopoulos, no one can say my plan is going to raise taxes on middle-income people. Stephanopoulos said, is $100,000 middle-income? Romney said, no, middle-income is $200,000 to $250,000 and less.
Hmm.
That's middle-class in Mitt Romney's
world. Wow.
As you said, the medium household income in America, $50,000.
Yeah.
That's the middle.
Middle. Median means middle.
The middle, yes.
Yeah. Wow, here's another nugget showing Mitt Romney's... Dear God. Reuters interviewed a Virginia woman who said she believes Obama is a Muslim, lying about his religion, but she refuses to vote for Romney. Cheryl Harris, please and thank you. She said Romney's going to help the upper class. She earns $28,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
She says she'll vote for Obama. She said at least he wasn't brought up filthy rich.
There you go.
Gawker saying, when you're a white Republican who's losing the paranoid white Southern Baptist vote, maybe it's time to rethink some things.
Yeah. Focus group
something. He's a Muslim. I'm going to vote for him anyway. That meant Romney's a douche. Okay, Jim.
Hmm.
Who said Paul Ryan was moving his mouth, but the voice was the neocon puppet master Dan Senor? The hawkish Romney advisor has been seconded to manage the running mate and graft a Manchin worldview onto a foreign affairs neophyte, a moral, muscular foreign policy, a disdain for weakness and diplomacy, a duty to invade and bomb Israel's neighbors, a divine right to preemption. It's all ominously familiar. Who said that?
Snooki Politi.
Polizzi.
Polizzi. Whatever.
No. Maureen Dowd and another great piece
close.
On the neocons
so
slither back. Dan Senor, he was a Bush guy, Bush spokesman, yeah. Who said you can draw a direct line from the hyperpower manifesto of the Project for a New American Century, which the neocons abetted by Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld used to prod an insecure and uninformed president into invading Iraq? A wildly misguided attempt to intimidate Arabs through the shock of overwhelming force. How's that going for us? After 9/11, the neocons captured one Republican president who was naive about the world. Now, amid contagious Arab rage sparked on the 11th anniversary of 9/11, they have captured yet another would-be Republican president, vice president, both Jejun about the world. Who said that?
Ayman al-Zahadi.
Yeah.
No?
That was Maureen Dowd. Same piece. The neocons slither back. Oh, all right. We'll do
comes
this.
Comes crawling back to Broadway.
Yes, and it doesn't go for booze and dope.
No.
The Arab Spring doesn't go for booze and
dope. No, most definitely not.
No. While the Muslim world burned on Friday, Mitt was in New York with Kelly Ripa, confessing that he wears as little as possible to bed.
Ooh.
With no global vision or historical perspective, he didn't even remember during his Tampa convention to mention our troops or the years of war his party reigned over.
Oh,
Romney
that.
Is simply kowtowing to the right again. Who said that?
Maureen O'Hara.
No!
Scarlett O'Hara.
Maureen Dowd. All right. Who finishes by saying Republicans are bananas on this one. They blame Obama for casting a Mubarak overboard and contradict themselves by blaming him for not supporting the Arab Spring. One minute Romney parrots Netanyahu's position on Iran, the next Obama's. Romney's cynical braying about Obama appeasement in the midst of the attack on the American diplomatic post in Libya and the murder of a brave ambassador was shameful. Richard Williamson, Romney advisor, had the gall to tell the Washington Post, there's a pretty compelling story. If you had a President Romney, you'd be in a different situation. He's right, a scarier situation. If President Romney acceded to Netanyahu's outrageous demand for clear red lines on Iran, this global confrontation would be a tiny foretaste of a conflagration to come.
Who said that?
I what?
The situation.
Tom Brokaw. Conflagration. Come on.
Conflagration.
I want Tom Brokaw to come back to report.
Conflagration.
In the middle.
In the Middle East, a conflagration. In Olivia.
Jalalabad.
I'm telling you, I remember that tweet from Hillary, and that's just one of his, on his ridiculous England trip. She said, I'm revoking your passport. Get your ass back here before you start World War III.
Yep.
Wow. He hasn't even, he's not even close to being in office, and he's already screwing everything
up. I know, it's like, oh,
wow.
When can we? Got to have the election early.
He must have a time machine. He's wrecking the future retroactively.
Retroactively. Causing a conflagration?
Conflagration in Olivia.
Okay, Deborah in Richmond, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Well, how y'all doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I looked at the ceremony where they was bringing the bodies back to home.
Yes.
And I looked at it on different stations. And I wanted to ask you a question because maybe I'm missing something. I didn't see Romney at the ceremony, and
no.
I was wondering, did I see that wrong? I mean, he was so distraught that he wanted to blame somebody so quickly. I just thought maybe he'd be there, maybe his wife, his good wife.
No, you know where he was? He was on Kelly Ripa saying, this is the...
He was on Kelly Ripa? Really? Wow.
This is a direct quote in response to the question, Honey Boo Boo or Snooki?
Oh.
He said, I'm kind of a Snooki fan. Look how tiny she's gotten. She's lost weight. She's energetic. Just her spark plug personality is kind of fun. Whew. Oh, my God.
Wow. Does he know what
Someone
she does?
Someone tell him to stop trying to act like a regular person. Why, she's a little spark plug. That's Snooki.
Does he know how repellent, well, both of them are, both Honey
Boo
Boo and...
Well, the Middle East is burning.
Yeah.
I like that Snooki. I don't wear much to bed.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
I enjoy a cheese whiz on everything.
God.
I really didn't need a mental picture of Mitt Romney lying almost naked in bed.
How about that little spark plug personality? Okay. Wowie. All right. The president, meanwhile, on the world stage.
I want people around the world to hear me, to all those who would do us harm. No act of terror will go unpunished.
Yeah, there is no low they will not go to. In an interview with the Washington Post, Mitt Romney's top foreign policy advisor pinned the blame for the attacks on President Obama and flatly claimed they wouldn't have happened if Romney had been president. Really? He would have prevented this video from being made and, I see, would have controlled the entire reaction to it in the Middle East and, yeah, sure.
He would have dubbed the voiceover himself and done it differently. Done this with his hands.
Sure, exactly. What? Previously, as we know, Romney and his campaign in the Republican Party accused Obama of sympathizing with the terrorists who killed Americans in the hours after the attack.
What?
Which, of course, received widespread bipartisan condemnation. And then, I swear to God, he's so concerned about not looking like a flip-flopper now, he just doubles down on the most disastrous stuff that he does, rather than just going, oh, I spoke too soon. Or, you know, whatever he wants to say. Okay, by the way, in an interview on Good Morning America Friday, did you see that? Mitt Romney said his red line on Iran, the point that would trigger a U.S. military response, is the same as President Obama's. Despite a Romney advisor's assertion, just, I don't know, probably hours before, that the Iran represents the sharpest foreign policy difference between the two candidates.
I would do exactly what he did.
That's why
I'm different.
All right. Stephanie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, God, I miss you. I had to ride the bus with the history mystery bus with a bunch of Romney people who got everything wrong from Hitler on up. But I was calling about the Chicago school thing.
Yeah.
There's two things that people really don't understand what's happening in Chicago. My father taught for 30-plus years, okay? And the pay scale goes, you know, regular teacher, general ed is the lowest. You specialize, you know, like gym teacher or special ed, you get hired. And then if you get a master's and stuff like that.
Right.
My father retired, making less than $60,000, and he was a special ed teacher with a master's plus 10. So that's one thing they don't understand. Nobody's making the gazillions of dollars. Secondly, in the 80s, this is why they're fighting really, really hard.
Right.
In the 80s, the school board decided to let parent consuls run the schools. They picked the books, they fired and hired teachers and principals. Now, the thing is, my father taught special ed. Some of the people that was on the school board that he knew graduated barely reading were hiring and firing teachers and picking curriculums and books and principals. So they're fighting because they've always had this unfair way of evaluating Chicago's teachers. And now they're at it again, and they're sick of it because the evaluations have never been fair in Chicago for years. And you've got illiterate parents, really, on the school board that were picking books and firing and hiring principals and teachers during the 80s.
Yeah, so why would you ask teachers their opinion? What would they know about any of that?
That's true. And like I said, some very good principals got fired during that time.
Yeah. Yep, I hear you, honey. I'm up to here with the union bashing on every front. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, Mitt Romney spoke, and so there is comedy. That and much more. So we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, come on! You gotta admit, this is cool!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president yesterday.
Those who attack our people will find no escape from justice.
Mitt Romney was talking about Snooki, president, on the world stage.
For every angry mob, there are millions who yearn for the freedom and dignity and hope that our flag represents.
By the way,
well, maybe you shouldn't have made that movie with the thing about the Muhammad name.
Yeah, Obama shouldn't have directed that movie.
Yeah. Sure. The president's Carney, Jake Carney, explaining.
The unrest that we've seen is a reaction to a film with which the United States government had no involvement.
And by the way, whether it's Hillary Clinton or whoever condemning the film, isn't that the decent thing to do?
Yeah.
Of course, they're all screaming like First Amendment. It's like, yeah, she's not saying. All she said is it's disgusting what's in the film, and this is not supported by the United States government or the American people.
Provocation.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Okay, Mittens.
Sometimes it seems that we're at the mercy of events instead of shaping events. The world needs American leadership. The Middle East needs American leadership.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that's why this is the headline: White House race nudging toward Obama. Obama appears to be building it's quite a bounce. Our bounce is quite bouncy. We were on vacation last week, and we're still bouncing from the Democratic convention. Nearly 2 weeks ago, the president had a definite advantage in most national polls. More importantly, looks strong in the swing states that will decide the race. Gallup's daily tracking, Obama up, Obama 49, Romney 41. The Wall Street Journal NBC poll, Obama 49, 44 for Romney in Florida. 50 to 43 in Ohio, that's 7 points. Thanks. And Virginia 49, 44.
That's the bounce.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Bumbles and conventions bounce, apparently.
Okay. And Tom Cruise. No, not him.
What? Okay. What?
Never mind.
Jeff in,
oh. Sound effect.
Jeff in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, thank you, Steph. Thanks. You, Jim. Thank you, Chris.
Yes,
you guys do some great work.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a quick point for you. It's really crazy, this circus of absurdity that we have to watch here. These are the same people that wanted... wanted the generals on the ground to have complete latitude to do whatever they needed to because of the circumstances. But the people there on the ground in Egypt or wherever else, they have to wait for direction from Obama?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Even did you see John Huntsman, that interview?
Yeah.
Hilarious. He said Friday he doesn't know how Mitt Romney is planning to handle the Arab Spring, which he said is kind of a problem.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And then you see Andrea Mitchell asked him, when was the last time you talked to him? And pause. Huntsman said, I never talked to him. Mitchell said, enough said.
Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty much him de facto announcing for 2016, right?
Wow. How can there be an Arab Spring when it's September? I don't... Look at the calendar.
Do you remember? The 25th of September?
By the way, since we've been gone, we're winning in the courts quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But the voter suppression, and now judge strikes down Wisconsin anti-union law.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, ha-ha. Ha-ha, Governor Wanker. Nina. Nina. Ha-ha! A judge issued a ruling Friday overturning almost all of the law that has been a hallmark of Governor Scott Walker's tenure. In a statement after the ruling, Walker accused the judge of being...
partisan.
Liberal activist judge.
I see, yeah.
Activist doesn't go your way. That's how that works. Yeah, the judge said the law violates the Equal Protection Clause by creating separate classes of workers who are treated differently and unequally.
Yep. So?
Go judge.
What's wrong with that? Why are you so judgmental, judge?
So judgy. Mike in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was having a little bit of deja vu this morning, that confused caller at the end of the last hour who said that we should get all the Americans out of the Middle East and let them finish off each other, because I heard precisely the same words yesterday at work from our resident right-winger. And almost in the same breath, Obama is a Muslim who doesn't want to attack other Muslims. And if Romney gets in, there will be war against Iran right away. So how do you get all the Americans out of the Middle East and go to war against Iran at the same time?
Right. Yeah. Well, he'll outsource the jobs to somebody else, as he normally does.
To India.
It seems like if you cannot contain within your own mind at the same time two mutually exclusive lies, you are not fit to be a Republican candidate or a Republican propagandist.
There you go.
Exactly.
By the way, I'm guessing this court ruling also not going to go their way. Romney immigration advisor goes birther may keep Obama off the Kansas ballot.
Yeah.
For being a Muslim.
There's an update to that story.
Chris Kobach, that guy.
Yeah.
Considering banning President Obama from the ballot in the state for a lack of sufficient proof that he was born in the United States.
He has since abandoned the effort.
Yes.
Oh, really?
I think someone talked to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You know,
you
look like a moron.
Don't be a quitter.
No, you don't. No.
Nobody likes a quitter. J.D. in Arkansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, J.D.
Yes. I want you to know that this is the first time I've ever called into a radio talk show.
I'll be very gentle with you.
Thank you. I won't be a virgin anymore. Anyway, there's a lot of things going on in the Middle East, and this whole film thing, it seems kind of coincidental that Romney needed something else to talk about, that it actually came out now. And number two is, like, we went in war with Iraq. You know, we were already using the sympathy to go after Afghanistan, and the Cheney-Rumsfeld administration. Wanted to surround Iran, and that was the next on their list. And the last thing is, you know, these are all opinions now. It seems that Romney doesn't want to release his tax returns because during a while ago, the IRS had an amnesty program, and that means he could have copped out to a felony, amnesty, and he wouldn't be eligible to run.
All good points. How was that for your first time? Was it good for you, too?
Great. Yes. Yes, good. It was, and I think you are doing a great job.
You. All right, let's have a cigarette and just lay here in the afterglow. It was good for him. That was like a radio caller version of the 40-year-old virgin.
It was quick.
That's good.
Who gets to sleep in the wet spot?
That was good. Ah, that's really good. Okay, 15.
What?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, do it 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. The website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal websites. And, of course, the corresponding Facebooks.
Yes.
Don't forget that. and the Twitterverse and Facebook exploded over the weekend. A, with the news that I'm apparently dating Jodie Foster.
Which is?
Which I will neither confirm nor deny, because I need the publicity. All right.
Doesn't she have a...
I don't know who to... No, we were spotted at the DNC together. And then at the Grove before that a few weeks ago, remember?
Huh.
Shh. Okay.
You spent most of the DNC in your jammies.
Well, it could have been with Jodie Foster watching Nell.
Because I'm sure she loves watching herself as much as you love watching yourself.
I don't watch myself. I got many love letters on the Sexy Liberal documentary, which aired all weekend on Current. I didn't watch it. Why?
Because you're not a fan of yourself.
I'm not a fan. No. No, I'm not.
I am not one of your fans!
Ooh, yeah. Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, I saw Sexy Liberal on Current. Those Current people did a great job putting it together. Wynn Rosenfeld, thank you.
Yep.
Love seeing you with your hands on the romantic polar bears. Max and Fred were in the documentary.
Was Aisha in this one, too?
Yes!
Oh, awesome.
And a tour of your Gloria Swanson-like wall of career mementos, Goldwater Miller 08. Oh, in my office, at home.
Oh, yeah. There's footage from your home?
Oh, yes.
You
oh.
let them into the inner sanctum?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. I haven't seen it. There's a lot of behind the scenes. You know, me feeling up Hal and John backstage, stuff like that.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, there was some inspiration, too, seeing all those nice people you helped get through the Bush years, some high-profile encouragement for gay people living out in the heartland. Piling on some facts on top of the "we'll have to leave it there" lies out there, with laughs to make it go down easier. You kids do the Lord's work. Thank you. Yeah, Roland sent us pages and pages and pages of Facebook response here. Emmy. Oh, Emmy. Someone smells Emmy. Lindsay says, Emmy for Steph, John, Hal, and Aisha. Love the show. Watching it for the third time. We will. It is going to re-air. You should check current.com. Yeah. They're going to be re-airing it, and then we'll find out if they'll sell it down the road somewhere. Because people that don't have Current, we'll see.
You might be able to get an Emmy to put next to Jodie Foster's Oscar.
Right, we could have it in our Oscar case where we currently have Jodie's Oscars. There'll be a space there, and maybe a Grammy for the album.
Could be.
Just saying, whoever wrote on that Twitter thing that Jodie's finally met her equal. You know what I'm saying? That might be. You know what? I might not be a fart joke comedian in another few weeks, friends. Phyllis
what
writes,
"What does she do, this woman you seek?"
Okay, Phyllis says the show was great. Can't wait to see you live. Well, Phyllis, thank you for asking. Seattle up next, the big birthday show, Mama's birthday, September 29th, 2 weeks. Yep. Seattle almost sold out. And then Sexy Liberal Palooza, October 27th, right before the election at the Beacon Theater in New York City.
There's wind on the social medias that there might be another show.
Oh, shush.
Well, I saw it yesterday.
Social media is notoriously unreliable.
I think this came from Sexy Liberal on Twitter, actually.
Everyone knows I'm dating Beyonce and not Josh Foster. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
All the single ladies.
All the single ladies. Okay. All right. Speaking of love, this is what I said, I think, in the documentary. I don't know what they use, but this show is not about us. It's about the people. It's about these sexy liberals because it is an amazing community. I need more love music.
Oh, all right.
Okay, this just happened today. Samantha in Seattle. Steph, I saw you last year in Seattle with my sister and her husband. The whole night was such a memorable experience. Way back in March of this year, I delightedly snatched up 5 tickets for when the big birthday show comes in a couple of weeks. As a state worker suffering my 3rd consecutive pay cut, the Seattle weekend was my only vacation this year. After an agonizing summer, my sister and I reluctantly conceded we're not going to be able to make it. On April 9th of this year, our dad was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Wow. Neither of us would feel comfortable being away for the weekend of the birthday show. My dad's a lifelong Democrat, serious progressive. I've been alongside him throughout this battle. He never lost his most central qualities the entire time, putting others before himself, working to make things better for those around him. He loves your show. Recently told me when I asked him if he was listening, I wish I could listen all day. Every day. In honor of my dad's generosity, political courage, and progressive spirit, I want to donate our 5 tickets to people who would otherwise not have the opportunity to go. So I hooked her up with Roland, and we're benefiting Gilda's Club, as it turns out, in Seattle. And so Samantha just wrote back and said, I know Sexy Liberal has devoted proceeds to a wide array of worthy causes since its inception. I find it serendipitous and kind of perfect that this particular show benefits cancer patients and their families. Please direct them to Gilda's Club staff volunteers who otherwise wouldn't be able to get a ticket. So we're giving them to staff members at Gilda's Club. What an amazing organization. So fitting that Steph performs in Gilda's honor. Well, I would not compare myself to Gilda Radner, but thank you. Anyway, thank you, Roland. Thank you, Steph. Rock the house in Seattle. Samantha and her family. And let's send them all some Sexy Liberal love and thoughts and prayers. For her and her daddy. Yeah. All right. Oy vey. Anyway, that was what made me cry today. Okay, meanwhile, this may... can I just say it? Can I do a little love shout-out to T-Bone?
Okay.
T-Bone, our associate producer and phone screener, rocks my world. He not only kept the show running last week, he house sat my house and my dogs, who appear to like him better than me now. They were very happy when I got back and not depressed like they normally are.
Well, maybe he just overfed them treats. Maybe that's how he won their favor.
Listen, there was lots of beer and boy things in the house. I don't want to know what happened there.
Maybe
you
made
him
flirtinis.
Yeah, that could be.
Doggy flirtinis.
I was just checking the ceiling for condoms. Seems like he cleaned up. Everything's fine. All right.
You said there was vodka in the freezer?
Yes.
And
a lot of beer.
A
lot of beer. I don't really drink beer. A lot of boy things. Okay.
Vodka's not really a boy thing.
I don't know what happened while I was gone. I don't care. The house is fine. The dogs are fine.
You encouraged him to throw a shindig.
I did, because I don't leave the house. I don't want other people to either. My dogs need constant attention, or else they will act out. And that's why we posted.
Why is there someone in a leather hood down in the basement? What's going on?
Your house became like American Horror Story.
I remember there being a gimp in the basement when I left. anyway, Mary Beth sent us these. We posted this right on our Facebook page.
Yes.
Because they're hilarious. You know, my bugaboo is people that leave those stupid passive-aggressive notes next to dog poo on the hiking trail.
Mm-hmm.
You're breaking the law!
Yeah, thereby adding even more litter to the person that left anyway. Dog poo, this is listener comedy, poop-related notes you'll actually love. And it's a bunch of, it's a new website where people have their dog and then a sign, a little note.
Yeah, it's been around about 6 months.
Whatever. Post it next to their dog. This one posted next to a dachshund. I eat frogs and then jump in mom's lap to puke them up. She screams because they're still moving. I am a frog-eating jerk. This one, I ran away and survived on my own for 2 weeks. When you found me, I showed my gratitude by unleashing gallons of diarrhea all over your car. I am a douche.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one's a poodle of some sort. I loudly and aggressively body check my mommy's door when she's asleep until she lets me in. If I'm already in, I do it until she lets me out. I am a fickle, irritating little head, and I'm not even sorry. This one's my favorite. It's a dachshund next to a baby. When no one's looking, I hump the baby.
Oh.
This one, some sort of terrier. I ignore my dog walker at the beach and hang out with naked old men, so she has to come and leash me and see old men junk. XO Gordon. And this one, I peed on my owner's leg at dog obedience class. Yes?
That was the first one that was listed there. That's my favorite. It said, where did it go?
Oh, that was kind of disgusting.
Yes. I ate my poop in front of party guests. Then I threw it up, and then I tried to eat that.
Spectacular. Yeah. I was trying to avoid that one during breakfast or lunch hours here where people are watching.
It's hour 3 of the show. I think people are done.
All right, since
they are now.
Since we're on animal stack, Jim, I thought we're in science stack, sort of science animal stack. Bizarre fish has a penis on its head. I think it's important. In Vietnam, a new species of fish with a penis on its head has been discovered in Vietnam.
So that's what Agent Orange will do.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. This seems like part of the war on women to me. The penis includes a rod and a jagged hook.
Wow.
Used for grabbing the female during sex.
Oh, great.
Wow. I guess.
Yeah. That does not go over well.
Vietnam female fish like it rough. Apparently.
Oh, dear.
Dear God. Oh. All right. Lewis.
So you could call him a Richard head, and you would not be inaccurate.
Oh, no.
By the way, Travis would like to retort.
Yes.
He said that Mandarin vodka was there when I got there. And I don't drink beer. You know that. I took home the berry acai vodka with me. So there you go.
A likely story. All right.
I do not always drink beer.
Yeah. What are you doing with Mandarin vodka in your freezer?
When I do, I mix it with Mandarin vodka.
I don't drink hard liquor. Somebody put it out. Okay. Lewis says, the staff, the 23 million of unemployed has been repeated over and over since Clint Eastwood said it last week, and it's simply flat out wrong. Mm-hmm. Or, in other words, a lie. Lie, lie, lie. According to a report from the U.S. Department of Labor Bureau of Statistics, it stands
what
at
would they know?
12.5 million is the number of unemployed. But they
12.5, 23, what's the
people
difference?
Like Paul Ryan, they just say a lie, and then they just lie, lie, lie.
Especially in Janesville, where we were about to lose a major factory.
Lie, 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 lie,
as it turned
lie,
out,
lie,
that plant didn't last another year. All or nothing attempt to put the federal government in charge of health care.
Falsehoods.
$716 billion.
Misleading statements.
Funneled out of Medicare by President Obama.
Lies, if you will.
Lies, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh. New York Times, did you see that piece yesterday? Don't tell anyone. Shh, but the stimulus worked.
Oh.
Damn it. A very important new book out called The New New Deal. Findings will come as a jolt to those who think the law, quote-unquote, failed the typical Republican assessment or was too small or sloppy to have any effect. On the most basic level, some fun facts from the New York Times, okay. Thank you. The most basic level, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, responsible for saving and creating 2.5 million jobs. The majority of economists agree it helped the economy grow by as much as 3.8% and kept the unemployment rate from reaching 12%. The stimulus is the reason, in fact, most Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago when the economy was in serious danger of shutting down. Mm-hmm. The stimulus did far more than stimulate. It protected the most vulnerable from the recession's heavy winds. Of the Act's $840 billion final cost, $1.5 billion went to rent subsidies and emergency housing that kept 1.2 million people under roofs. It increased spending on food stamps, unemployment benefits, and Medicaid, keeping at least 7 million Americans from falling below the poverty line. Republicans learned a lesson from the stimulus that Democrats didn't expect. Unwavering opposition, distortion, deceit, and ridicule actually work, especially when the opposition doesn't put up a fight. The lesson for Democrats seems equally clear. When government actually works, let the world know about
it. Exactly.
Thank you.
I'm not one to brag. Well, that's the problem.
That's the problem. Strike that from your vocabulary.
Also, they were showing the graph on the stock market. It's been going up since 2008.
It's worth 13,000. Yeah. Where was it 7-something when he took office? I mean, it's, the bad for business thing, all of it. It's just a bunch of... Jim, who said if you vote against Obama because he can't get stuff done, it's kind of like saying, this guy can't cure cancer, I'm going to go vote for cancer.
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, it's a bad guess. That was Chris Rock.
Okay. The chat room thinks they know where that bottle of vodka came from.
Where?
It was from your. It was from a buy a pallet of box wine, get a free bottle of Mandarin vodka.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I suspect Jackie Schechner. I don't know why.
Really?
Interesting.
Last party. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. She's a wild woman.
Or is that an ingredient for a flirtini?
She brings that in key lime pies. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to
it. Wasn't a rock. It was a rock monster.
Yeah, exactly. My point. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mary in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Well, hello.
Hi.
You got me just... Hold on.
Oh, okay. No, sorry, bedtime?
Okay.
Okay, I'll wait here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was on hold so long.
I'm
I had
sorry.
To pee.
Okay, thank you for that. Go ahead, Mayor.
Too much. Okay.
A little too much information.
Welcome back.
Thank
and
you.
And I want to ask, what is it with all these trolls that have, I guess, nothing better to do than to call you?
I know, right?
What I have Fox News blocked from my DVR thing. You can't even get that channel if you try to in my house, and so I don't get why they waste their time if they don't agree, if they disagree with everything you say. They have their own agenda. What do they think? They might change my mind if they call in with one of their
maybe. Sometimes the a few guys have gotten me by sitting on their remote and getting me by accident. They sort of butt dialed me,
yep,
essentially. So that happens too.
It can happen.
And they end up being somewhat befuddled. All right, Paul Ryan. Oh boy, you know what his foreign policy experience is? What now?
Zip bucket.
Border disputes between Wisconsin and Illinois, maybe that sort of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amid all these threats and dangers, what we do not see is steady, consistent American leadership.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody was saying that he clearly had had words put in his mouth by one of the neocons, the Maureen Dowd's column.
Mm-hmm.
He just was, parroting the neocon talking points. Hmm. Paul Ryan.
If we project weakness, they come. If we are strong, our adversaries will not test us, and our
and
allies
stuff.
Will respect
and,
us.
And then also.
Please. Yeah, the world's going to be really, really get in line once Eddie Munster's in charge.
He's not convincing when he talks about foreign policy. No. Not in the least.
If we had just, show him who's boss,
right,
then nothing bad would happen. That's how it works.
God, that's a simplistic view of the world.
President's acting like such
cow.
A goof. It's like bowing to people in junk.
If you just don't apologize for America, then they won't attack you.
Here's what else we missed at the, he spoke at the values voters.
Oh, that thing.
Summit. They handed out flyers for attacking women for being immodest and extolled them to go home and put some clothes on.
That sounds like Sharia law.
It does.
Modesty matters. They criticize women for dressing immodestly at church and blame women for causing men to stare lustfully at them.
Ah.
Look at you.
Slut. She's a slut. Look at her. Slut.
How dare you force me to look at your...
Dressing like hoochie mamas at church. Why? Wow, and then Tony Perkins...
No, mother, blood, no!
No, ready for the very bad part. What are you doing in the shower? Don't worry, I think I know.
Not that.
No?
The guy the
other
family
one.
Family.
The really scary Tony Perkins.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. He also spoke. Oh, someone asked him if he would disown a child who came out as gay. He went out of his way to paint himself as a generous man who's full of love, would never do such a thing. And then he compared homosexuality to drug addiction.
That's helpful.
He said, I would not disown my own children for anything, but let me say this. I believe as a parent, we have the ability to protect them from a lot of unfortunate experiences.
Hey, don't knock until you try it.
We can do our very best job as a parent, and still something may happen, whether they end up in drugs or whether they end up in some other lifestyle end up in.
They check the other box.
They're our children.
Apparently,
we'll always love them.
Homosexuality is a gateway drug.
And we don't necessarily condone what they do. If we really love them, we'd be willing to tell them the truth that the choices they've made to continue in what they are doing are both destructive to them personally and to society as a whole.
You should stop choosing to be left-handed. I don't know why you keep doing that.
Yeah.
That's destructive.
When did you choose to have red hair?
Well, some people do choose to do that.
Wow, I bet you he wrote this for the Malaysian Education Ministry.
Oh, this is hysterical. Oh, God.
They released guidelines for parents looking to detect quote-unquote homosexual symptoms in their children. I bet Tony's down with this. Per the 8-point list, symptoms of gays include liking to wear V-neck shirts and other tight-fitting, light-colored clothes. That show off muscular bodies. Also, a surefire sign of being gay, attraction to men.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That is informative.
That's
wow. Gee, that
took Sherlock. That. Yeah, Sherlock Holmes to deduce that one.
Homosexuals also like to carry around big handbags similar to those used by women when hanging out.
What?
Lesbians are not as easy to spot as gays.
They're stealthy.
We're tricky.
They don't have much of a radar profile.
No,
lesbians.
We're like avatars. The four symptoms of latent lesbianism. Lesbians are attracted to women.
Really?
That's
good to write that down.
Will distance themselves from other women who are not their companions, enjoy the company of women, and have no affection for men. So there you go, parents. There's your handy dandy guide.
Wow, thank you.
V-neck, T-shirts, handbags, and
hey, maybe I'm straight. What's going on? I'm not wearing a V-neck. Oh, my God. I need to check in.
Do you ever wear a V-neck?
Yes, I have some. I'm all confused now.
Just don't
now
wear
I'm questioning.
V-neck.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello. Just a minute. Dick, are you in?
I'm always in for Dick.
Not what I hear.
Who knows?
What, are you starting to turn?
It's been a long vacation. I don't know what I've done. Apparently I'm dating Jodie Foster.
Happened on Martha's Vineyard?
I don't know. Who knows? 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
With bananas and Jodie Foster. I don't know.
Yeah. Listen, the Twitterverse went crazy while I was gone. All right. Oh, looky here. Maybe I was drunk. Who knows? Jim, this just in. Red wine linked to female sluttiness.
Huh. Cool.
That's such a shock to no one.
Slut. She's a slut. Look at her. Slut.
Researchers concluded that levels of sexual desire were higher in women who were moderate drinkers of red wine than in their counterparts who prefer other alcoholic drinks or nothing at all.
Hmm. All righty then.
It doesn't work when I drink red wine. It doesn't make the girls go.
No?
No.
They have to have it.
Okay. Oh, all right. That must have been your error.
Bill O'Reilly apparently knew that.
And the all bets are off drink, as we all know. Tequila.
Oh, yeah, well.
This just in from South Carolina in the drunk stack. Georgetown County Sheriff's deputies say a woman is in jail after leading them on a high-speed chase and getting out of her car drinking from a bottle of tequila.
Oh.
Authorities say a deputy tried to pull over a woman for driving 88 miles per hour in a 45-mile zone.
Hmm. That's generally considered to be illegal.
She drove off.
Hmm.
Taking deputies on a chase before getting out of the car drinking. Tequila.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusion of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. Is a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
All right. We haven't played that in a while.
I know.
That story seemed to... It calls for a disclaimer.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to Bobby in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bobby.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I want you to know that I'm probably the only 74-year-old granny virgin, you know.
Wow.
All right, then.
Yeah, your gentleman earlier was a virgin to the calls, and this is my first one.
Oh, okay. Call. Okay.
All right. Wow. I was about ready to say, it's hard to be a grandmother and a virgin.
Sure.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Well, what I want to do is I want to get you to start a movement. Since I am not very good with computers or phones or anything else.
Me neither.
Well, you have a voice, though.
Okay, all
and,
right.
Okay.
I need to sober up, but go ahead. What's my mission?
Your mission is to get everyone texting and a movement to have these moderators on these and reporters. If a person doesn't answer a question directly, it would be great if you could just get them to either answer directly or cut their mics, mute them, and go to another question or another.
Yes.
And I would love to see this with the delegates when they're in their debate.
I'm sure I'm on the short list, aren't I, to moderate the debates?
Absolutely.
Yes. How about the Thule McTulerson, David Gregory, yesterday? He just kept trying to get Netanyahu over and over again to criticize the Obama administration, and he wouldn't take the bait. But it was just like, what? It's like he's reading Romney campaign talking points. Here is Netanyahu yesterday.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from
Iran
being about 90% of having the enriched uranium for an atom bomb. I think that you have to place that red line before them now, before it's too late.
Anyway, but he kept trying to say, he asked him several times, did the Obama administration throw Israel under the bus?
Is Obama an Arab?
Okay, by the way...
Or a good family man.
When they get to economics of the debates, I certainly hope someone brings this up. Congressional Republicans and their party's presidential nominee have both pushed plans to cut taxes on the wealthiest Americans and hope such a move would stimulate the economy and aid the recovery from the Great Recession. A new study, however, indicates tax cuts for the wealthiest earners fail to generate economic growth at the same pace as tax cuts aimed at low and middle-income earners.
Huh.
Maybe someone will point out that we tried trickle-down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It didn't work.
Study provides more empirical backing to what the U.S. has experienced over the last 30 years. Supply-side tax-cutting policies have not led to the growth their Republican proponents promised. The Bush tax cuts, for instance, were followed by the weakest decade for economic expansion on record. Mitt Romney proposed a tax cut that is four times larger than the Bush tax cuts. There's some interesting information. Oh, and we did the debt graph.
Yep.
Ronald Reagan, responsible for the highest portion of debt we've ever had.
Yeah.
Barack Obama, the lowest since Reagan. Just GTK. Okay. You know who I missed while we were gone?
Oh.
Billy in Texas.
Billy's hanging around in that Texas town.
Yep.
With a phone call from the rain.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. Just let him go if you want to know how his talking points are strange. How does he come up with this stuff?
How
does he?
How? Good morning, Billy. Miss you. Love you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, guys, every time you start talking about the Republicans lying, I have to laugh.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because what y'all are doing, y'all are projecting.
Are you a psychologist?
No, I'm not a psychologist.
Oh,
know that.
Okay. Well, nonpartisan fact checkers have said Romney's lying.
You reject all these? No, that's ridiculous.
Oh,
it is.
So nonpartisan fact checkers.
Nonpartisan fact checkers are ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all are caught in a blatant lie. You turn around and you say, "Well, both sides do it." You know, what about Harry Reid lying on the floor of the Senate?
About what?
When did he do that?
About Romney not paying his taxes.
Well, how do you know?
Yes.
How do you know?
How do you know it was a lie?
Prove that it's a lie.
Didn't we already? It's like
yeah, we did.
We had this
already.
Conversation
yeah.
right
yeah.
before the vacation.
We did. Mm-hmm. And he
thinks we forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a right winger though. Bill Clinton got slaughtered by the fact checkers. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. No.
Paul Ryan got slaughtered by the fact checkers.
The fact checkers said he was absolutely right about jobs created under Democratic administrations, Republican. I mean, there's certain things you can't lie about without getting, just slaughtered. Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney got slaughtered.
Yes.
Because it's their party. That's all I'm saying.
Spend our energy on
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
And Audra.
Oh, and Audra, thank you.
Yes, and Mary.
And Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
They did vocals.
Clearly.
Mike didn't
sure.
do vocals. On
no.
That. No.
Okay. Mike, because once I get a movie reference, I just can't let it go. He says, staff, remembering the Obama addressing the Republican Congressional Caucus, what a moment considering where the GOP is headed right now. President Obama cautioned them about the rhetorical road they were taking and what the pitfalls and ramifications would be. He warned them 2 years ago face-to-face. Remember that? He suggested the GOP not paint themselves into a corner. He suggested they leave themselves from room to maneuver, but in the end, their hatred, greed, and ego kept them from listening. Now they are where they are, as quoted in one of your prior Stephcasts. Now you can't leave. Now he's locking the door. Now you can't leave electorally. Now you're going to take a thumping.
And what movie was that?
Frog's Tale.
Yeah.
Okay. 44
Good
minutes.
Good job.
Thank you. Hey. Nicely done. 44 minutes after the hour. Right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That makes me sweat.
Makes me want to autoerotically asphyxiate.
What? Oh, no.
Stop it.
Too
no.
soon.
Too soon.
Jim Louise.
Well,
that's
49 awful.
Minutes.
We don't talk about that. Shh, quiet.
49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris and Val, right staff, so excited. Wife and I emailed early. We got our Sexy Liver VIP tickets for New York City.
Sweet.
Yeah. 11th year anniversary coming up from Asheville. Got awesome cheap round-trip tickets. Yeah, hurry, I would get them now. The pre-election extravaganza.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear about Roland's deal-making. We will have hotel deals ready to announce Wednesday.
Mm.
Trying to decide what sexy liberal outfits we should wear. My wife is looking for a sexy pashmina. All right. You know, enough with the pashmina jokes already.
What up, mama? I hate to break it to you, girl, but the pashmina thing just won't die.
Hey, mama, where you at?
Steffi wears them well.
Fashion, yo.
That's
yo.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody can pimp out a pashmina like Steph.
That's right. Thank you very much. You gotta know fashion, yo. Yeah, this guy in Vogue magazine says Uggs are see? See, I'm a woman way ahead of my time. I wear my Uggs every day to spinning class.
That man wears a dress to the office.
I don't care.
Seriously. Have you seen pictures of him? Andre Talley, what's
Leon
his name?
Leon Talley.
Yeah.
He said, when I discovered Uggs, it was a revelation. I love Uggs. Uggs can be as chic as heels for a woman. Uggs are comfort shoes, and it's important to have a shoe that gives you a sense of comfort. Uggs, for me, are a moment of utilitarian comfort that keeps you anchored in the reality of today's world.
He is a big, fat man who wears a dress to the office.
Don't judge.
Well,
don't you sweat in your Uggs? Don't your feet like, sweat like
no.
crazy?
Those things must smell like...
Woof.
Not as bad
your
as
your lunch.
Not as bad as my lunches.
Oof.
All right. What you know? What could the Royals keep their clothes on? For God's sakes, what is happening?
Well, now we know that Kate Middleton has breasts. Thank
Yikes.
You very much, French media.
I gotta find that. Picture.
The Queen is not amused. They
no.
are
see it off of you.
No.
No. By her breasts.
As tardy as the Queen is, she is not amused.
No.
They are filing a lawsuit against the French publication that showed a topless.
Zut alors.
And Jacuzzi. They were vacationing.
Yeah.
All right. Kristen Stewart.
Ça ne plane pas pour moi.
Ça ne plane pour moi.
Kristen Stewart, Jim, also has no problem going topless.
Mm.
She's doing a film adaptation
well,
of On the Road.
She's kind of
topless anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, all right. This is an unfortunate quote from Celebrity Stack. She said, it didn't bother me. You can do no wrong with director Walter Sales. He puts so much inside of you.
Oh, what? Huh? What?
Probably not the way she
looks. No,
she tends to sleep with directors and ruin her relationships.
Oh, that was an unfortunate quote on so many levels.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Okay.
That's how she got the job, apparently.
All right. We're going to have pictures up from my vacation on Facebook, hopefully later today. Stephanie Miller Show and Sexy Liberal Facebook.
As soon as someone sends them to me, yes.
Mine and Roland's bike trip.
Okay.
And also our day at the Kennedy compound.
Playing Bananagrams.
Well, Ethel Kennedy kicking our ass at Bananagram, if you wanted. No wonder all those kids are so successful. She is, listen, you don't be using short words around Ethel Kennedy is all. That's what I learned.
Okay.
Anyway, hilarious weekend. All right. Speaking of Facebook, you know what? It's the source of all evil, as you know. Woman discovers a bigamous husband's second wife under Facebook's people you may know.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. God.
Facebook is evil.
A woman in Washington was shocked to discover a photo of her husband and his second wife on Facebook. They were all dressed up and standing next to a wedding cake. Oh, dear.
Oh, wow. Was it? It was their wedding cake? Oh, dear.
It's hard to say, it's not what you think. Okay, it is.
Oh.
All right, Beaver Stack, one more, because we had to catch up. We've been on vacation.
Sure. A lot of beaver.
Someone's got to think of the children, Jim. The headline is Rabid Beaver Attacks Children.
Ouch.
Somebody please think of the children!
A rabid beaver jumped out of a pond and chased children at a nature center. No one was injured.
That's a little too much nature.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The beaver leapt out of the water and onto the dock and was seen acting aggressively.
Sounds like one of those movies that filmmaker made before he got in trouble with the
anti-Muslim film?
Yeah, that guy.
No one likes an aggressively acting beaver. You know what I'm saying? No one likes that.
No. Some people do.
Well,
Dave.
Don't knock it till you tried it.
Yeah.
Dave in Chicago,
you're
on.
I always say.
Hey,
hello,
I made
Dave.
It, huh?
Yeah, yes, hi.
Hello, Stephanie. Hi. And comedians.
Yes.
Nobody talks about this. You know, the Republicans have been using the defense budget as a stimulus package since Reagan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to talk about it.
Because then they would have to admit that the government creates jobs.
And Romney wants to use it now. And Bush he really pumped it up. Matter of fact, I think when during his time, the two wars, when unemployment went down to about, 5.6%? There was so much money around that I think the combination between all that money and deregulation caused the housing bubble. And now Romney wants to use the same thing by increasing the defense budget. I forgot what the percentage was. And that's the stealth stimulus package. And nobody wants to talk about it.
Yes.
We need to bring this up.
Yes. Well, we just did.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Mary in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning, and thank you for receiving my call. Listen, I want you guys to notice something, and next time you see Mitch Romney speak, notice his little beady eyes, because he reminds me of an opossum that my grandparents caught in their chicken coop that was stealing their chickens. Compare his eyes with those of the opossum, and every time he talks, he has those little shifted, blinking eyes, and I say, hey, he's not telling the truth. You know, he's
going to
steal.
I didn't eat the chickens.
Thank you for that.
I love you, Mary.
I love Mary. That was a delightful story.
Yes.
I didn't eat the chickens, he said, picking a bone from his teeth.
A beady-eyed opossum.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Boston in Baltimore.
Yes. How are you, Tiffany? I love you and my lovely show.
Thank you.
You know, somebody needs to tell America that those jobs that we have lost, don't blame it on Obama. Those jobs are not coming back. The 30 or 40 years following the Second World War, we had the only major industry still intact. Christ, the only country still intact. And so the rest of the world depended upon us to furnish them with all kinds of goods that we are not going to be doing anymore, because those people have built their own industries up and they have the good sense to buy from their own industry, which we
right.
buy American.
Yep.
I say buy American, and let's start some new industries. Let's start some new needs out there, and
yep.
that'll create the jobs. Don't blame it on Obama.
Yep. I'm all about the buying the USA.
Sure. And
that's why you drive a Lexus.
Excuse me? What?
And you created a need for fart jokes on the radio.
Yes.
Thank you.
There you go. Mission accomplished.
Thank you.
Mission accomplished.
Let's go to Matt in Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Matt.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to say it's just a breath of fresh air to be able to talk to you because I normally call a bunch of conservative talk radio shows living in Tennessee. Let me first of all say that I'm a progressive, so let me finish before attacking me.
Well, you only have 20 seconds.
Well, the Republicans and the Tea Party are not lying about one thing. We did start out favoring small government. But you know what? That didn't work. Our country was founded under the Articles of Confederation, and the lack of power to the central government incited Shays' Rebellion. The state of Vermont was almost a part of Canada, and Daniel Boone accepted Spanish gold to try to get the Tennessee Territory under the...
Daniel Boone was a man. That's all I know.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry we ran out of time on that one. Okay, we will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.